time for the Dane Buy Local radio show, Let's Get Local. Each week, we are your connection to local as we talk with leaders of area businesses, nonprofits, and government. There are so many amazing people and organizations in our community, so let's get into it. Let's get local.
Hey, welcome in to another episode of Let's Get Local here on a Saturday. Glad to be with you on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, WTTN, 1580 AM to be exact. From the Solidarity Realty Studios on University Ave in Madison, Wisconsin, we are glad to be here each and every week telling stories of local businesses, local nonprofits, organizations, making the most of what they can bring to the community. And we're going to start off with one that kind of encompasses all of that, doing good business for good, and man, providing us with some fantastic coffee options right here and all around the area and anywhere you want. You can buy stuff online. It's Rob from Just Coffee Co-op joining us now. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm pumped up. Actually, I had some of your coffee this morning, so I'm amped up a little bit and ready to go.
Good. You're good.
So we love Just Coffee Cooperative. I'm a huge fan. Us here at the station, we are as well. But for those that haven't heard of you, give us an overview of what Just Coffee Co-op is all about.
Well, Just Coffee Cooperative is a Madison-based coffee roastery. We import, or our importer imports, only fair trade coffee, organic coffee, from about 12 or 14 different worker co-ops or grower co-ops currently in a number of different countries. We roast it here in Madison. We've got about 20 employees. We're also a worker cooperative. We have five worker owners. And we do roughly 500,000 pounds of coffee a year. We distribute in 35 to 40 states, something like that. We're mostly a packaged coffee distributor. So we turn up in grocery stores. We turn up in food co-ops. We even turn up in some big box stores. You can get us at Costco. So that's mainly our primary line of work. We do supply some local cafes as well. We do not have our own branded Just Coffee Cafe. We've contemplated that over many years, but we've gotten into this market niche and we feel like it's important that the way we do business and how we bring the coffee into the country and how we work with our growers and so on is important to put in front of a large national audience if possible.
I love the products and I love the mission and the work you do. And there's so much thought and effort and time that has been put into building what Just Coffee is. So tell us a little bit about what that's been like to identify where to get coffee from, to do it the right way, and to do it the way you guys want to do it.
Well, Just Coffee started as a project, as a solidarity project, basically, rather than a coffee lab or something like that. The two founders, Matt Early and Mike Moon, had been on a delegation to southern Mexico and talked to some Zapatista farmers down there. They were small scale farmers. They were growing coffee organically. And so after having been gone around and seeing a couple or three of these different grower cooperatives, small cooperatives, and the work they were doing in the Zapatista movement down there, they were enthused about the idea of, you know, being in solidarity up here in the north. So they asked them, how can we best support you? And they said, buy a coffee roaster and import our coffee and roast it. That's what we need most, is we're too small to get on the radar of some other big roasteries. So help us out in that way. So they came back, Mike and Matt did, and bought a small roaster. And so anyway, that's how the business got started. It would give you some idea of like where we've been directed as a business right from the start. So anyway, with that as our background, we started off as an LLC. We became a worker co-op just because we felt the cooperative model is one in which distribution of ownership and of, the various components that go into being a cooperative were the right business model for us. And we've been very happy that we have been all these many years. We import our coffee through an importing cooperative called Cooperative Coffees. And we, of course, buy only from grower co-ops. And we actually sell through a lot of consumer co-ops or through food co-ops as well. So we like to keep that ownership model of cooperative business right down the value chain, down the production chain as far as possible. So that's part of how we came to be in the business or have the business model that we have. And we are, for example, very careful about distributing a fairly large amount of our income as a roastery back to the growers. So we're paying the growers. Well, the coffee market's pretty volatile right now. So even conventional growers are getting a fairly high mark for their coffee currently. But generally speaking, and still currently, we pay far over the fair trade price, let alone the free trade price, for the coffee that we get from our grower cooperatives. Generally, it's in the range of 30 to 35% of what we take in from our customers. So we feel like that may not be a perfect model of distributing the proceeds equitably along the chain, but it's a good jump in the right direction from what the growers would be getting in under most models of production these days.
I love the leadership. I love taking a stance and doing, you know, things the way that the organization and the foundation felt are the right way to go and the right way to do things. We're talking with Rob from Just Coffee Co-op. The website is justcoffee.coop. So, Rob, I wanted to ask you a couple questions here about something else. So we mentioned the history. I mentioned organizations that are also making an impact through their business. You guys are a certified B Corporation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, a B Corporation or a benefit corporation is a relatively new model of certification, which is, it's been around 10 or 15 years now, I think. We became a B Corp in 2017. It's basically a way of certifying that a business in pretty much all respects of its operation, from its governance to its environmental concern to its I'm trying to think of the other. There's four or five broad categories in which the certification ranks you. Those are just a couple of them. I'll think of the other two in a minute. But generally, it's trying to rate businesses holistically in their position in the community, their position in regard to their workers, their position in regard to their product chain, who they have as suppliers, who they sell to, who they're involved with. A number of these different aspects that you wouldn't normally know about a business. And it is not an easy certification to get, I will say, just as the person who does the certification for Just Coffee every 3 years. There's hundreds of questions you have to answer too. You have to supply a lot of your book work. You have to have a CFO is willing to turn that over. Basically, they look at you inside out to make sure that you are doing what you say. So we feel like that little B with a circle around it that's on our bag is actually a very important mark. Most people, I'm glad you asked me about it, because most people don't know what it means. It's not too widely used currently, but it's gaining popularity. And we hope that just as a general mark, like the organic mark on our bag, that this will become fairly widely known within a few years.
I saw, too, that there's an event coming up in Milwaukee next month highlighting Wisconsin B Corps, and I'm gonna be there. So I'm looking forward to heading over there and talking with good people from Just Coffee Co-op. I think you guys put a post out about it. That's how I found out about it, Rob.
Yes, hopefully I'll be there to rub elbows with you in person. That'd be nice.
That would be great. I have to get to this question because I don't know when the next time we'll get to talk. So when you have products like you guys have, and there's so much diversity in all these different products, okay, you get to brand and name these products whatever you want. Tell us about that process. How fun is it? Is there a lot of, you know, collaborative work there? Or does somebody spark all the good ideas? How does it work?
Oh, that's a great question. A little out of my wheelhouse, but the creative team now has a little more control. We have three or four people who do a lot of the outreach and advertising to the extent that we do it. And they work on a lot of that stuff now. But generally speaking, the sort of the management team and the creative team put heads together to come up with names for things. A lot of times if a client wants a specific themed coffee or something for their particular business, we'll use that as a jumping off point. And then a lot of times we still do this to some extent, I think. We shopped out the art to local artists that we knew A lot of times we've kept that in-house more recently because we have a lot of a stack of art in our files these days that we can use. But one of the things that we think is important is just making our package presentation stand out on the shelf, because that's just one more way that we want to help the grower co-ops that we work with to move their coffee. I mean, our business on our end is not only to make their coffee shine, to roast it in the best way, to present the best product on the shelf so that the consumer will pick it up and say, hey, this is actually worth, you know, the 10 or 11 bucks or whatever you are paying for a bag of coffee. It's expensive, but it needs to be. It comes from the long distance away, and the growers need all the return they can get out of it.
Well, and that's an investment back into the community too, that whole chain of the community, but also buying local, which we talk about all the time here on the show. We're talking with Rob from Just Coffee Co-op. The website is justcoffee.coop, justcoffee.coop. And Rob, just as we wrap up here, I thank you again for everything you do. The other thing about, again, we're most grocery stores. In Costco, you can get the big bags. People can find your products. They can order directly from your website. So all good ways to connect with you and get your products. But I did want to highlight that Just Coffee Co-op also does a lot of giving back. And just quickly tell us about why that's so important to the organization.
Well, it is important that we survive here and we thrive here because the community does embrace us so wholly, and we owe it back to the community to continue to support us. So we sponsor the local football team, the soccer team. We also donate to a number of different organizations, mostly on the down low, but we feel like we need to spread some of what comes into us from our customers back into the community, because we know that our customers appreciate that distribution, a redistribution of wealth as well.
That is Rob McClure from Just Coffee Co-op. Rob, thanks for everything you do, and thanks for waking me up every day. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jason, and thank you for what you do.
We'll be back here on the other side of the break. Again, you can buy things directly from Just Coffee Co-op or find them at most stores, retailers, or head right to justcoffee.coop to get some great local products and supply worldwide chains and supports everyone all around the world. Great coffee, by the way. We'll be back after the break. Catch you soon. Keep on lying.
By your people.
Hey, we're back here on Let's Get Local as we continue on. What great conversation with Rob and Just Coffee Co-op. Again, justcoffee.coop. You can get some great products there. And man, it's fun. It's incredible product and worldwide connected. So you have to just appreciate what, as a local company, they have done. Other organizations locally who do some great things are on our slate today as well. So let's get to our next guest coming up right here from Middleton Outreach Ministry. To connect with Leslie Huber over at MOM, what's commonly known as MOM. And it is an organization that's been in our community a long time doing some really important work. So we're really glad to feature you on the program today. Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So tell people about the organization, maybe if they're not familiar with it, because I know it has a lot of activities and a lot of work you do, but sometimes those nonprofits, they work quietly in our community. So please tell us.
As you mentioned, we've been here in this community for a long time, over 40 years now. And our mission is to bring our community together to create food and housing security through action and advocacy. So we're really focused on stability through food. We have a food pantry that we serve all of Dane County. And we also have some housing programs that focus on keeping people in their homes. We do also run some seasonal programs. Right now, we're in the midst of our back-to-school program that helps kids get ready for school. So those are some of our highlights.
A lot of us with that in our minds right now, with kids getting ready to go back to school already. I know most of our kids are dreading it, but it's getting the days go by and we've got to be prepared. So
it's hard to believe summer is ticking by so quickly.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about that in a minute, but before we go there, let's talk a little bit about the organization. You and I were just talking before, and so you've been on staff for a while, but you started out as a board member in the organization or being involved as a volunteer. Tell us more about that journey for yourself.
Yes, I live in Middleton, and so Mom is actually just down the street. I was aware of the really great work that they did in the community, and I worked in communications and nonprofits. I started doing some communications work with Mom. I served on their board, which was a really great experience. Mom has really had quite a journey the last few years, and being part of watching that change and that growth, first as a board member and now as a staff member, has been really exciting. As a board member, I got to see the organization from a different viewpoint, and I really was excited about what I saw and about the work they were doing to really help people, help our neighbors, focused on stability and you know, some emergency assistance, but it's really more than that. It's helping people find that long-term stability. And I wanted to be even more of a part of that. So when there was an opportunity for a staff position, I applied and was really excited to get to do this every day now.
We're talking with Leslie Huber over at Middleton Outreach Ministry. The website is momhelps.org. momhelps.org. It's such a wide range of things that you offer and you work with to support the community there, Leslie. But tell us a little bit about kind of, we talked about the back to school efforts now. It's so critical kids to have the things they need just to function in school, to give them that opportunity to be their best. So tell us about your efforts on that front.
Yeah, we run a specific program called Back to School. As we know, for kids to start the school year ready to learn, there's a lot of things they need. And some of those are met through our other programs, that food security, having enough nutritious food to eat. Lots of studies have shown that's important for kids' success and, of course, stable housing. But we wanted to come in and provide additional help, and that's with our Back to School program. So last year, we handed out over 525 backpacks filled with school supplies. So we work with the school district and we get a list for each grade so that these are the actual things that the kids at different ages need. We have a different list for our first graders, for our fifth graders, for our high schoolers. We, you know, get donations of both money and school supplies, get those really sturdy backpacks that they need, earbuds, all sorts of things. And we work with the schools to get those lists, and we work with our registered mom clients and are able to hand those out to kids of all ages to help them have what they need and to take that financial stress off of families. Because for those of you who have children, you know that those school supply costs can really add up, especially if you have more than one child. And when you're really needing to use your limited income toward food and housing, it's nice to not have that to be something they have to worry about.
I think it's so critical for some of the nonprofits that we have in our community that they're here, because most of the time, so much of the time, a lot of them are really just working on the basics, on trying to give everyone the opportunity to have the basics in life so they can then operate from an area and maybe elevate themselves to a new place. But if you are in a struggling situation where you're just trying to focus on how do I get even just housing, food, just some of the basics for us to live, I mean, that can really, really be difficult for families and just individuals and make people feel like they're not even a part of the community. So I love that about your work.
Right. A lot of the families that we work with, families and individuals, these are people who are working often more than one job. As we all know in our community, the cost of housing is very high. And so sometimes just being able to, they could be moving along, paying those costs, and something happens in their life. So someone has a health situation or an employment change that really throws things out of whack and can create a downward spiral. And that's where we can come in and help to prevent that, to help families stay in their homes, to prevent the homelessness or hunger experience, and help them access those resources and get that emergency help that prevents going into that crisis situation. And of course, it's all possible because of the support of our community. And that's the other thing that makes it such a really community-centered organization. It's helping people in the community, but it's through the support of community members, individuals, and organizations that enable us to do that work.
I want people to know two things now. One, how can they help support your work?
I would say right now we have two things that I would love for people to know about. And one is our Cans of Hope campaign. So when COVID started in March of 2020, we went to an all drive-through model for our food pantry. And we only recently this summer have begun bringing people back to in-person shopping. We're able to provide food for the community all through the pandemic. But as we bring people back to in-person, we're restocking our shelves with a wide variety of food instead of just operating off a menu system. So we would love to have people support this program. You can learn more about it on our website at momhelps.org. You can support through monetary donations. We have a generous matching donor right now who's matching all donations up to $10,000 through that program. And we'd also love support of donated non-perishable food items. Personal essentials and fresh produce are all items that we take. And of course, the other way to support right now, I would say, is with the back to school program.
Incredible things happening over at Middleton Outreach Ministry. Again, head to momhelps.org and you can support their work. Man, incredible groups here doing great things and helping people who need it. I love it. Hope you'll be back on the other side of the break. We've got a second half of the show coming up with Laura Stanfield of Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. Walking through the ghetto on a Sunday afternoon. We're back here at the Solidarity Realty Studios. Let's get local. Each and every Saturday, 11 a.m. to noon, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. A big thank you to our sponsor for the program, Evolution Financial, and Sue Peck. We'll talk with Sue again here later this month. You can find out more about her services and everything she brings to the community going to evolutionfinplan.com. Really appreciate Sue's partnership here. And again, you know, we talk about local businesses, the Buy Local movement, talk with local organizations like Middleton Outreach Ministry, and our next guest and organization, the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. But in the process of that, if you're interested in supporting the program, supporting those organizations, supporting our work here, you could become a sponsor as well if you're up for it. So let's head over to Laura Stanfield now and welcome her back to our show. Laura, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, doing really well. Like I said in the first start of the show, I had plenty of Just Coffee right before the show, so I'm in a high operating mode and maybe speaking a little more quickly than normal. But Laura, I have known you a while now. You are you help with different mortgage organizations. Now you're with Wintrust Mortgage. You've been serving the community for so long, but you are very passionate about this organization, the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. Tell us about that and your association with it.
Sure. So the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County, I believe, has been around since the late 90s. And I've been a part of it. Wow. I think a lot of that time, I think about 18 years now. So yeah, definitely a labor of love, but we do some really good work. So the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County is a collaboration of housing industry representatives. So there's lenders, there's realtors, home inspectors, insurance providers, city nonprofit, local nonprofits like Habitat for Humanity, Urban League, anybody really involved in the housing arena in Dane County is or has been part of the Home Buyers Roundtable. So we're a collaboration of people who really believe in housing. Affordable housing is, wow, such a topic these days, isn't it? Mm. With rising house prices, it's kind of hard to find affordable housing, or really the definition of that has just changed. It has. But we look for opportunities for people because we really believe in our home buyers and trying to make home ownership accessible for all that we can.
I want to delve into some of those other areas in a minute, but before we get to that, I think what you just said is so interesting and important to highlight. So in general, you have a lot of people that offer similar services, right? So banks, financial mm-hmm. institutions, insurance, all pieces of the realtors, all pieces of the home buying process. And even though in some people's minds and eyes, you might be in competition, you are all coming together in connection to this organization to find solutions for people that want to buy homes that are having a tough time doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective because we there are a lot of us who do the same thing for a living. And of course, while we want to, a piece of it is networking, but that's not really our main purpose for doing it. So I guess I think a lot of us maybe have a similar mindset. I've never looked at it that way. We do compete against each other, but there's also enough to go around. That's, you know, like, we're okay. We can work together. Some of us can help each other because we can't all do the same things. And so sometimes we might be able to refer somebody to, you know, a colleague, a coworker, a competitor. But we just don't really look at it that way. So yeah, our goal, our purpose is to help educate and, educate ourselves on what programs are out there, bring in people who are looking to create opportunities for homebuyers. That way we can better educate homebuyers about what might be possible for them, programs available, education opportunities available for them. It just makes us better at what we do also.
We're talking with Laura Stanfield of Wintrust Mortgage, but also the Homebuyers Roundtable of Dane County. I just thought it was important to highlight that collaborative effort and collaborative process because in so many different levels of things we see in society, we see a lot of competition, and I think collaboration is one of the best tools that we can all use to get, you know, everyone to elevate. And I think that's what our show is about. That's what Dane by Local is about. And obviously what the Home Buyers Roundtable is about. Laura, let's talk a little bit about buying a home these days. You mentioned it. What's affordable housing right now? What are some of the big challenges right now?
Wow. Well, over the last, I don't know, what's it been, 2-3 years at least, it's really, we've been in a seller's market for a long time. And a seller's market is viewed as, if your home is on the market for less than 6 months, the seller is kind of more in the driver's seat. Well, in the last year in particular, we've seen homes maybe on the market for 6 hours. So definitely a seller's market, not a buyer's market. So what that means is it's been really hard for buyers, especially in certain price ranges that are more competitive, like the first time home buyer range. But really we're seeing competition anywhere from, well, it's interesting that a first time home buyer price used to be, I don't know, like 150, 200, now it's 300 and over. So we're really seeing anywhere between 200 and 500,000 as a pretty competitive price range. Obviously 500,000 is not a first time buyer range, but it's just made it really difficult for buyers to get accepted offers. So if they come in with a program, like a government loan program, let's say for veterans out there, it's an amazing loan program, but it's been hard for them to get accepted offers. FHA, any government program has just been hard. So like if you're cash has been king. If you can do conventional with a lot down, great. You're probably second best. But that said, I will say in the last few weeks, we've seen a pretty big market shift. So now we're seeing, I think a lot of buyers just ended up leaving the market, honestly, because it's been exhausting for them. I don't blame them. So they took a little bit of a break, and then we saw interest rates creep up over 6% for a bit there. Interest rates have come back down now. And then we're seeing fewer buyers in the market, and we're seeing a few more homes on the market. So thank goodness. I wouldn't say that it's a buyer's market because homes are still selling fast, but not in hours, more like, you know, a week or two, I would say. So I'm seeing a lot more get accepted offers.
Well, that's a good sign. And especially, I'm sure, you know, for people looking for homes, it has been an exhausting process and such. I mean, you go through all of that, you see a place you like, you get excited about it, or maybe the possibility, and then that possibility is taken away so quickly. That can be really deflating.
Yes.
How do you work with people in those scenarios to kind of help them find the home that they're looking for?
Yeah, so from a lending point of view, I'm just looking at, like, I want to get people in the best possible loan program for them, first and foremost, what's going to be comfortable for them. But also knowing that if they're in a government loan program, they might find it hard to get an accepted offer. So I'm just always looking at, can we move you into a different program that might make it easier to get an accepted offer? Or maybe the listing agent and the seller just need a little bit more help and education about what the program really means for them. So I'm always open to calling the listing agent and explaining and answering questions so that they don't automatically see a VA loan, let's say, and go, oh, nope, I've heard those are really hard to get done. My seller's not interested. Well, why do you say that? You know, like, just be curious. Do you really know? Or maybe you're basing this on information from the past and it's just not that anymore. So we're looking at all kinds of ideas to try to help the buyer stand out in a positive way. And really, kind of like what you said before about collaboration within Home Buyers Roundtable, it's a collaboration when we're working with buyers, sellers, buyers agents, listing agents, lender. We're all on the same team. The seller wants to sell their house. The buyer really wants the house. Let's all just work together and figure out how we can make this happen.
We're talking with Laura Stanfield with Wintrust Mortgage, but also the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County, a collection of people in the home buying process that are just trying to help people buy homes and become homeowners that are really interested in doing that. The website is homebuyersroundtable.org, homebuyersroundtable.org. Laura, we're going to get into some of the education pieces here in the second segment with you, but what you just said is so important. It's about information and educating, right? And making sure everyone understands the parameters of things and how they can work together. And so it has to be a collaborative process to make that work.
Yeah, it really does. And I find that most agents are open to talking and understanding things. And one thing that we've noticed too is that it is relationship based. So we were talking about competition earlier, and I think a lot of realtors kind of look at it that way too, that they're all in competition with each other, which they are. But I teach on this too at the new realtor orientation. It is so important to network, to be involved in organizations like this, to volunteer, and to get to know your peers. Because a lot of times when there's a lot of offers coming in on a property, it really might come down to what the listing agent views as, will this be an easy transaction or a difficult one? Do I know the buyer's agent? Do I have a good relationship with them? Do I know the lender? Are they local? Can I trust that they'll get the deal done? So just a lot of this is trust and relationships and getting to know one another and collaborating with each other.
More with Laura Stanfield after the break. You're listening to Let's Get Local. We'll talk more about home buying and the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County and the education that they offer to help people get into homes.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
Dance in the dark. Come on, we gonna light up the night. Come on, I wanna dance in the dark.
Final segment here on Let's Get Local for this Saturday, August 6th. Speaking of August 6th, and before we get back to the good work of the Home Buyers Roundtable, it is National Mustard Day over in Middleton right now, taking place. It started at 10, goes until 4 o'clock. If you head over to the National Mustard Museum in Middleton on Hubbard Avenue, all kinds of great things. There's live music. There's mustard games. There's, of course, food and all kinds of mustards you can sample and get involved in with National Mustard Day. Barry Levinson has created this in more than 30. This is the 31st National Mustard Day, and people from all over the world are involved. So, that being said, Laura, you're a guest on today's program during National Mustard Day. Mustard fan, what's your favorite type of mustard?
You know what? I'm just a mustard fan. I'm not into ketchup at all. Like, I'll eat ketchup on a hamburger or a hot dog, but I love mustard. I'll dip my fries in mustard. I'm kind of weird like that. So I like spicy mustard. I like regular mustard. I have gone to the Mustard Museum and sampled various kinds of mustard I didn't even know existed. So I think I pretty much liked them all.
Now, over 6,500 types of mustard at the Mustard Museum.
Wow.
It's just amazing.
How many? 65?
Yeah, 6,500 different mustards from people all over the world. They also host the mustard competition in May, but this is a celebration of Mustard, National Mustard Day here August 6th. It's always the first Saturday of August over in Middleton. Again, mustardmuseum.org. You can support the great work of Barry and the team. And you can head out today. It's a little toasty, but, you know, there's shade over there, and there's good mustard to put on anything you like. The other thing, Laura, if it's hot today, they have a mustard-flavored ice cream this year created by the chocolate.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Yes, I actually did try mustard-flavored ice cream when I was there last time. I can't say I was a huge fan of that, but I don't know. If it's hot enough, I might appreciate it more.
Head over to check out National Mustard Day in Middleton today, going until 4 p.m. today. All right, the Home Buyers Roundtable, Laura, is so much about education. So tell us, there are so many opportunities. And again, information education is key to being informed in the process, having success. Tell people about all the efforts you do on the education front.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So during our monthly meetings, we're taking a little break in the summer. And then our first meeting, annual meeting, our kind of kickoff is in September. So throughout the year, we have a speaker come in and talk on something housing related. So again, we can be informed and better professionals and better able to educate our buyers and sellers. So we do that within our group. And anybody who is in the housing arena is welcome to come join us and check us out. It's a good collaboration, networking, education, constant education. And then along with that, there are some options for buyers out there that qualify. It is income-based per the county that you buy a home in, but you might be able to qualify for some down payment assistance. And considering the shifting market that we're in right now, I've actually seen a couple of those get accepted, which is really nice. So it's not impossible. It just, we need education on it. So what we do is we host an annual education, free education for the realtor community. And we don't get into the down and dirty about the debt ratios and all the stuff they don't probably care about, but we just tell them what programs are out there, what are available, what maybe some amounts that their buyers might be able to qualify for. And then we also talk with them about what inspectors look for, because these programs are looking to be sure that when home buyers are getting assistance and moving into these homes, they are safe and sound. And so they do what's called a minimum housing code inspection. So we teach them on that also, so that when they're walking through properties, they can kind of preview and say, oh, that might be a problem. You know, like maybe we need to have a conversation with the seller about that, just to see, you know, how that's going to play out. So we do that every year in February for realtors. And then in March of every year, we do a training for lenders all around Dane County. Surrounding areas are welcome as well. But we offer that. And that's just a little bit more specific about the things that lenders need to know, because we are the ones that are really educating buyers about whether or not they do or don't qualify. We need to know. There's a lot of specifics about these programs that we need to know really well. And we want to be sure that we're spreading the word to all lenders that we can, so that they can talk to their buyers. Because people might, it's actually surprising to me how often I still hear people say, oh, I can't buy because I have to have 20% down. Mm. No, you don't. You do not. You might be able to buy with zero down, but you just need to know if that applies to you and what it means to you. And so that's what we teach on as well for lenders. And then along with that, we have monthly home buyer education classes for home buyers that are just interested in the process. And those are free as well. So that is a comprehensive education on all aspects of the home buying process. We start with credit and budget so that we can give you some pointers on that. And if you're not ready, at least you kind of know where to start. And then lender comes in and talks about what programs are available, how to choose a lender, like our 4Cs, credit, capacity, collateral, those types of things, what we look for when we're making an underwriting decision for them. And we also talk about the down payment assistance programs that are available in Madison, just to give them a summary of what they might be able to qualify for, how they can qualify. And then we also have a realtor come in, talk about what the realtor does, home inspector, and homeowners insurance. So they get what's referred to as HUD approved, government approved home buyer education. It is a full 8 hours of education that is required for some first time home buyer programs and for the down payment assistance programs. And they get all that free.
Okay, I want to go back to a couple of things, but before we get there, I heard a lot of valuable information and services, and I heard the word free after all of those. How is that possible, Laura? Yeah. How is it funded?
Thank you. What an excellent question. So we do that because we have a lot of amazing sponsors for the Home Buyers Roundtable. We have three different levels of sponsors. So we have major sponsors, mid-level, and friend sponsors. And so that could be like the city, county. They're a big sponsor of ours. WIDA has been a sponsor of ours in the past. That's been known as a first-time home buyer program, but it's not anymore. Anybody can buy using WIDA. And we have several banks and real estate companies and lots of people that believe in our mission and they want to support us. And so without them, we would not be able to put on these free classes. All of our sponsors are proudly listed on our website, which you mentioned earlier, homebuyersroundtable.org.
Absolutely. It's so important to recognize how these services are available and who helps make that possible. Clearly, a lot of volunteers from all these different networks within the home buying process that help organize and teach and educate. But someone has to fund it. Someone has to put the money behind it, too, to make all that free for people to help them. And with the ultimate goal of increasing home ownership and availability for that. So, Laura, you said, too, okay, I'm gonna play a scenario here. We got a couple minutes left. I'm a new home buyer. I'm just getting into this, or I want to buy my house for the first time. I don't have lending set up. I don't have some of these other things. How long is that process, and when can I be approved, and when do I think I can actually be in an actionable position to make an offer?
Wow, that's a lot of questions.
Sorry, was that too much?
With a lot of different answers, so I'll do my best. So I'm going to suggest that you go to the class and take the education on it, because Even if you're already talking with a lender or a realtor, I know there's things you're going to learn that you didn't know before. And why not do that? I mean, I get it. It's a long time, but it's well worth it. Because what if you could qualify for some of these programs? You're going to need this education anyway. But even if you don't qualify, it's great education. So along with that, the Home Buyers Roundtable has a couple tools on our website that people could play around with. So if you just really have no idea and you're a little shy, not really ready to talk to a lender yet, we have a readiness tool. So you could go on there, and based on how you answer the questions, it'll give you some direction about, well, maybe it sounds like you need more credit repair or budget repair, or I don't know, it sounds like you might be ready. Go take a class, you know. But when it really comes down to pre-approval, a realtor is going to tell every buyer, get yourself pre-approved, not pre-qualified, like go through the steps, submit your documentation, make sure it's solid so that there's no hiccups along the way. And then when you do talk with a lender, it's really pretty quick. You go through an application and the lender really should be verifying the information in the application, like your pay statements and W-2s and bank statements, all that. It's not to be nosy. It's truly to help you with things that we're going to need anyway. And that way you're kind of a little further down the process of your loan approval. So that whole process really is pretty quick. It does not take very long. Maybe you have no idea and you just jump right in. Hopefully you're working with a lender that listens to you. It's not judgment at all. It should be education. So no, you're not quite ready, but here's the steps you need to take to get ready.
Love that. And maybe as I played the scenario, I was an overwhelmed person trying to find answers and you just simplified it for me. So absolutely love that.
Right.
It can be easy. And there's people at the Home Buyers Roundtable that can help you out. Again, Laura, thanks so much for being on the program today, telling us some of the good work and resources available. And just head to homebuyersroundtable.org, homebuyersroundtable.org. Laura Stanfield, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day. Happy Mustard Day.
That's Laura Stanfield from the Home Buyers Roundtable. Again, thanks to Just Coffee Cooperative. And head out for Mustard Day right now in Middleton. We'll be back next week outside the Pizza Box. Up next.
In the dark.